and he's making good on his word. Mark, have you dried out from last night yet?
Yeah, but I haven't caught up in my sleep, so I guess one out of two ain't bad.
You and me both, because I have a young infant at home, and I put him to bed, and I said I wanted to see this thing through all the way to the end. And when Koji Uehara blew the save, I thought we might be setting up for a long extra inning game. But luckily, Anthony Rizzo took care of things in the bottom of the ninth inning, and just a little bit of 2016 magic in 2017.
Yeah, it was kind of a nice way for the Cubs to finish that game after the emotions, like you alluded to earlier, with the raising of the 2016 World Series banner and, you know, the gold lettering on the jerseys, all the hoopla. It kind of would have been, I don't want to say demoralizing, but I guess disappointing for Cub fans to see all this great excitement and anticipation from last year's championship to see it slip away. And it was almost like a fitting ending that Rizzo would get the hit after his participation in the pregame ceremonies.
Mark, I kind of wanted to get your take on this. With the ceremony last night and then the rings coming up on Wednesday, is this team kind of enjoying the moment, relishing what they did last year, or are they ready to turn the page to 2017?
I think a little of both. I would say that they're more ready to turn the page. I think they've done it for the most part, and Theo Epstein, the president, alluded to that in pregame, just on how this team is been about as low maintenance as you can get, which I think is a very high compliment, just given what they've accomplished.
When you take a look, a lot has been said and written about where the Cubs are at now, but the thing that I keep coming back to is this team is no longer the lovable losers. What's in store for the future of this franchise as it moves forward, now that it's finally got that monkey off its back?
I think you can go from lovable loser to perennial power, just the way this team is constructed, its youth, the upside of the guys like Bryant and Schwarber and Baez and Amor. They're certainly turning up with. At the same time, everybody wants to knock off the champion, and I think that the target on their back has gotten significantly bigger, but they kind of know that, and they kind of welcome the challenge, so I think that's a nice blend for them when it comes to the season, that moment on the big stage and wanting to stay there.
We read a lot during spring training about Jason Hayward retooling his swing in the offseason, getting back to what worked for him. And there have been some flashes of the old promising Jason Hayward. Is that, in your opinion, one of the big stories on where this team, how far this team will go this year, is if Hayward hits the ball, that lineup 1 through 9, at least 1 through 8, if you take the pitcher out, is almost as scary as last year, if not more so?
I would say so, and I think you used the operative word as flashes, because yesterday he didn't look so great. I mean, that's not to take away what he accomplished the first 5-6 games, but, I mean, this is an ongoing process, and he's going to have to stay in his chamber. It relates to the hand placement, the swing, making sure he doesn't get too long, that he's squaring the ball instead of being late or getting jammed on pitches. It's an ongoing process, but I would think that if he can drive in 70, 75 runs, it's a big win for the Cubs.
Mark, one of the questions coming into this year was just about the playing time and the depth. Because of Javier Baez, you have to when you put him at second base, you got to move Ben Zobrist to the outfield. That takes away from John Jay and Albert Almora's playing time. What has Joe Maddon said about that situation?
Well, he has all but said that Baez is a second baseman. I mean, he started like 5 of the first 7 games. I expect that to continue. I think that by Joe not saying that gives him an out where he can move guys around, including Javi. If you need to start him at third, need him to start him at short, he's got that flexibility. And I think that's been a hallmark of Madden's team since he's been here. I still think that Joe finds a way to keep the Jays and the Almora sharp. Caught me off guard a little bit that he did this right away. I thought that these guys would get a lot of bats going into the season and gradually taper off, but he's been very upfront and putting Baez in the lead in the second base position and then moving Ben around. So I'm curious to see how it plays out, especially if they stay healthy.
Is Carl Edwards the most important arm in that bullpen?
I think you can make a strong case for him just because of his strikeout potential. I would raise a yellow flag with that only because we saw him have bouts of wildness, such as last night. I think he's been prone to that at times. The arm's there, and I think if they need a strikeout, he's the guy, and I think he's also a guy that can get you the big out, whether it's the sixth inning or eighth inning. But you know, once again, he has to throw strikes, and if he can do that, I think not only he helps his case, but he also takes a load of pressure off the rest of the bullpen.
Mark, after the Jake Arrieta's first outing, there was a FanGraphs article talking about his lack of velocity. He actually commented on that. What did he have to say about that?
He wasn't real thrilled with the story, only in that he thought it was kind of jumping to conclusions. He says it's happened before, late last June, where his velocity dipped and then came back, and his big point was check back with him when he hits 97 later in the year. So we'll have to see. You know, his velocity was okay at times in spring training. I wouldn't say great, but he also got a lot of early outs in Sunday's game. He still struck out 10 with, I think it was 99 pitches in 7 innings, which is darn good. He was very efficient after a long first inning. So I'm curious to see if that velocity can climb back up to the mid-90s and then how deep he pitches in games. I think him pitching deeper into games is more of a big factor for the Cubs rather than his velocity.
Finally, Mark, did you ever think that you would live to see the day where you were covering a game involving a team getting World Series rings and it's the Cubs and not a team that they're playing? Because that's what's going to take place tomorrow at Wrigley Field.
it's put it this way, it's been quite a ride.
Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune, we appreciate touching base with you, and as you put it, it's been quite a ride, and I have a feeling they're going to try to replicate that again this year, although what they did last year, you couldn't do that. That's like bottling lightning a million years. MD Gonzalez on Twitter, a great guest as always. Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
And you can read his work as well as Paul Sullivan and the rest of the Cubs and White Sox writers at the Chicago Tribune online, chicagotribune.com/sports. Always good to get caught up with Mark. We tried getting him on before opening night in St. Louis last week and had to reschedule with him.
The life of a Major League Baseball beat reporter. If we can get them on either Tuesday or Thursday, it's a win. And I know he has a busy schedule. The question I didn't get to ask him, and it's maybe it's just people kind of grasping for straws early in this season, there's been a little bit of talk about the bullpens at Wrigley Field and how they're affecting pitchers, moving from the outfield now under the bleachers.
I think to me the whole, and I have not obviously been to Wrigley Field yet this season for a game to see a lot of the changes, but that one sort of strikes a chord with me because there was just something so unique about being able to go to that ballpark. And if you ponied up a little bit of money, those were not terribly expensive seats, at least in my opinion. If you're going to one Major League Baseball game a year and you're going to splurge on a $100 seat to sit right behind the bullpens in the front row, which they were terrible seats because if you were any taller than, let's say, 5'8", you didn't have much leg room. I probably still have some scars on my knees from the time that I wore shorts and had my knees pressed up against the bricks. But I've got some great pictures. And granted, this was several years ago when the Cubs were still fairly bad. Carlos Marmol was still closing games. Where
is this the Colin McHugh story?
No, different. Okay. Different game, but Tyler Chumlin, Tyler Ryder, and I went to a game where we were sitting behind the Mets bullpen and wound up having a conversation with Colin McHugh, among others. This is before Colin McHugh, two organizations before Colin McHugh wound up in Houston and it has set made strides as a pretty good starter in the American League with the Astros, but you could sit there and not necessarily have a conversation with guys during the game, but occasionally they would say something or you would say something, and you could almost reach out and touch the guys. And there are very few places in Major League Baseball where you can do that. Now, as part of the renovations, they moved the bullpens under the bleachers. So now they have video TV boards in the dugouts so that Joe Maddon and the visiting manager can monitor who's warming up in both bullpens. But there was just something really cool about going to a game and being able to see who was warming up. You didn't have to look through any fences or look up at a video board to see who was warming up. And to be that close, it was really, really awesome. And they made a number of changes at the ballpark, some for the good and some for not so much, in my opinion. But they're handing out World Series rings tomorrow. And I've said all along, look, I didn't like when the signage went up inside the ballpark. I didn't like the video board at first. And I still don't. I like going to the game and not being bombarded with the hefty home run of the game. Okay? But that hefty home run of the game helps pay Jason Hayward's massive contract. You have to live with it.
The one thing, and I've been to, I think, now half of Major League Baseball stadiums. The one thing that always, the one downside of Wrigley Field was it was always difficult
the
to
smell.
No, the score.
Oh, okay.
The scoreboard was so far away, and it for years encouraged people to have their own scorecard, which, you know what? I know a lot of people like to do that. I'm too lazy for that. But other than that, I think that there has to be the balance, like you just said, of having some kind of modern amenities and still keeping the flavor of Wrigley Field, the old-time flavor of it.
So here's what we're going to do if you're all right with this, because we had been planning on talking about the Cardinals after we chatted with Mark Gonzalez. I think it's in everybody's best interest to circle back and continue the Iowa football discussion in hour number two, at least to start with. And then Greg Wyshynski from Yahoo Sports is going to be with us. And we will talk about the Cardinals.
We can put that off as long as possible.
We'll do it in the 6 o'clock hour. This is classic. A lot of this is classic overreaction because we're 7 games into the major league season for most teams, and teams that are sitting there at 2-5, there's a lot of hand-wringing going on. I've seen a lot of people bailing on the Seattle Mariners. Oh, what a terrible pick. I never should have said that they were going to win the West or win a wild card. Teams rebound from poor starts all the time. Now, some have legitimate reasons to be concerned, and then there are other teams. Pakoda may or may not come up when we're talking about the Cardinals. 10 minutes in front of the hour of 5 o'clock. Hawkeye football talk on the way to kick off hour number two. Another Midwest One Bank big board update and more. 366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Use it to chime in or pick up the phone and give our associate producer, Zach Johnson, a call. Not that Zach Johnson. The other Zach Johnson. Back with more after this.
Once upon a time, there was an office full of grumbly staffers with computer issues.
So they called us. We love a challenge.
They needed a rescue from troubled servers, networks, blue screens of death, and more.
That's what we do for businesses in the corridor, and we have been for over 30 years. We are IT Solutions.
They are IT Solutions.
I just said that. Anyway, we know a properly configured and maintained computer network can make your employees 5 to 15% more efficient.
That's a whole lot of happy.
Yeah, it is. We monitor our client systems to make sure they're working. A lot of times, we solve a problem before our client even knows there is one.
Sounds like secret high-tech stuff.
Sure. Our clients have a dozen to a few hundred computers, some a few less, but they all have a lot of happy and productive employees because their computers work.
And they can stay focused on
taking care of their customers instead of their computers.
Find your happily ever after at ineedmycomputerstowork.com.
Go to ineedmycomputerstowork.com to learn more.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the Pro Tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at austeds.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Hi, Patrick Eads, owner of Geary Ford. I may not have the biggest dealership or the largest inventory, but I can promise you a fast, hassle-free experience with the friendliest people around and our best price up front.
On over 100 sale-priced used cars that come with 3 months, 3,000 miles comprehensive warranty, and payments as low as $119 a month with zero down, or up to $6,000 off MSRP on new Fusion and Escapes. With more inventory, more financing, and lower rates, you'll drive home in a newer vehicle and have a lower monthly payment than you have now.
Experience the way car buying should be at Geary Ford Iowa City or online at GearyFord.com.
It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM, still in the beta testing mode here as we get ready to hit the ground running moving forward. We appreciate you with us until 7 o'clock tonight. KGYMradio.com is the website. You can check out yesterday's inaugural edition of the program. You can also go there to vote in our poll question. Again, brought to you by our good friends at Emil's Hideaway. You can find Emil's on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. And we always tell you that because they live up to their name. It is a little bit of a hideaway. But which Major League Baseball team's slow start has you the most concerned? We give you five options. I mentioned the Cardinals and the Mariners before we went to break. Mariners just put Gene Segura on the disabled list today. The former Cedar Rapids Colonel had a little bit of a hand issue last night, sliding back into base. The Rangers, the Blue Jays, or the Giants? Again, big thanks going out to Emil's Hideaway for bringing you the poll question. The Hawkeyes have announced what team will fill the void on their 2019 non-conference football schedule, and it's what we're going to be talking about to kick off hour number two. If you're just joining us, what better time than a Midwest One Bank Big Board update to get you filled in. The Hawkeyes announced today that they've completed their 2019 football schedule by adding Middle Tennessee State. That game is set to be played September 28th in Iowa City. The Hawkeyes' other non-conference games that season will include Miami University and Iowa State. The Blue Raiders will take home $1.5 million for making the trip. It's actually $1,550,000. Don't want to shortchange them. The Iowa baseball team plays host to Western Illinois tonight at Duane Banks Field. First pitch is set for 6:05. Ryan Brownlee's Leathernecks 9-20 after taking 2 of 3 from Omaha over the weekend. Brownlee's a former Iowa assistant, now in his fifth year coaching in Macomb. The Hawkeyes are scheduled to throw left-hander Elijah Wood. It'll be his first college start. Western Illinois counters with Jimmy Perkins. The Cedar Rapids Colonels fell at Kane County last night 2-0, then turned around and to hand the Cougars their first loss of the season this afternoon in a 6-1 matinee at Northwestern Medicine Field. Tyler Beardsley worked 5 innings to pick up the win. Travis Blankenhorn connected on his 3rd homer of the year. The two teams will wrap up their 3-game series tomorrow in Geneva before the Colonels return home to face Wisconsin on Thursday. And Liberty High School in North Liberty has hired its first volleyball coach, according to the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Former Iowa City West coach Randy Dolson will be leading the Lightning in year one. 366-1600, that is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And Bears fans, this has been available online recently, but it's going to make its television debut tonight. ESPN's We the Fans. It's an 8-part docu-series. It's like part documentary, part television series about the season ticket holders at Soldier Field in Section 250. ESPN followed them all last season in what turned out to be just a miserable campaign for Bears fans. And I have not seen the episodes online yet, but I have the DVR set tonight, and I'm looking forward to checking this out because I think it's an interesting concept. All these people from all different parts of the Chicagoland area, one guy comes from 3 hours away. He's got season tickets, and that's nothing. I know people in Iowa City that have Bears season tickets, Chiefs season tickets, but I think this is going to be fascinating. to, especially knowing how the 2016 season played out for the Bears, to see it through the eyes of these people.
Are they going to go inside these people's homes?
From
outside
the clips
of
that I have
Soldier
seen,
Field,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's
that is interesting.
Very encompassing. And the Bears, by the way, raised some eyebrows today. I don't know if you saw this or not, but they have handed out a new jersey number to Mark Sanchez, their backup quarterback, the former starting quarterback of the Jets, among other teams. Mark Sanchez is going to wear number 6. It's Jay Cutler's old number. So I think it's pretty clear that the Bears are trying to send the message that their fan base that they are moving on from the Jay Cutler era. But if you're Mark Sanchez, would you want to be burdened with wearing number 6?
I don't think that's much of a burden.
On the heels of Jay Cutler? I just thought that was fascinating. We'll have more information on that ESPN program. Iowa football talk. You guys aren't done with it, and neither we are. Neither are we. Back with more after this.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are rising further and further into the universe of bundling. Within that universe, you see your